Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peaceless.
Amen.
Amen. As you know, yesterday we had marriage ceremony for Rick and Terry, and they're faced with a difficult decision, as many are, as to how many can be invited and who. And so when I suggested that we could have immediate family at the marriage ceremony yesterday, and then we could have spiritual family here today, that was an immediately relief and solved a host of problems. So a beautiful ceremony yesterday, and what I thought we would do is reenact a little bit of it. Not all of it, since it took heaven and all the masters to get Rick into a long pair of pants yesterday. Cannot expect that to happen twice, so, you know, miracles don't come in clusters. So we'll have an abbreviated, since he has abbreviated pants on today, we'll have abbreviated ceremony today. So if the two of you will come and stand here with me.
Shall we be on the sides we were?
We have the candles burning up here. And God is the living presence dwelling within each of you. The two candles now burning on the altar are symbolic of the light shining within your hearts and your minds. Now that you are about to take the vows which will make you husband and wife, will you please blend the flames of your two candles and light one candle as a symbol of the joining of your two souls as one in God. And they have done so, and we have the candles burning here. Now, I'd like you to come forward, and you come forward and take each other's hands. Give me a little bit of room here. Thank you. And then repeat after me. I am yours.
I am yours.
You are mine.
You are mine.
I give my life.
I give my life.
Unto your keeping.
Unto your keeping.
So that we may.
So that we may.
Become as one in God.
Become as one in God.
Body, mind, and soul.
Body, mind, and soul.
We give unto the flame.
We give unto the flame.
Of love.
Of love.
So that it may be purified.
So that it may be purified.
Into divine love.
Into divine love.
We give each other.
We give each other.
Full and unconditional love.
Full and unconditional love.
Without possessiveness.
Without possessiveness.
So that we may realize.
So that we may realize.
That our love.
That our love.
Is an expression.
Is an expression.
Of God's love.
Of God's love.
We will work together.
We will work together.
So that we may be in harmony.
So that we may be in harmony.
With the highest laws of truth.
With the highest laws of truth.
We will blend our desires.
We will blend our desires.
To attain our highest common good.
To attain our highest common good.
We will forgive each other.
We will forgive each other.
Always.
Always.
As we hope to be forgiven.
As we hope to be forgiven.
We will make God.
We will make God.
The cornerstone.
The cornerstone.
Upon which we will build.
Upon which we will build.
Our lives together.
Our lives together.
We vow to keep.
We vow to keep.
The greatest commandments.
The greatest commandments.
Of the universal Christ.
Of the universal Christ.
That we shall love the Lord our God.
That we shall love the Lord our God.
With all our hearts.
With all our hearts.
With all our souls.
With all our souls.
With all our minds.
With all our minds.
And with all our strength.
And with all our strength.
And second.
And second,
that we shall love, our neighbors,
as ourselves.
We promise, to practice universal love, seeing everyone, as our very own, because all, are the children, of our one Father God. We enter into this marriage, in order to fulfill, the divine law of life, and through the perfection, of our love, for each other, to find the perfect love, of God. You are now husband and wife, once again.
Oh, can we kiss?
Yes. Is that okay?
In case you forgot that.
Yeah, that's right. So, yes, you can clap. And you can sit down.
Okay.
It's a beautiful ceremony, and it's something that always makes me affirm my own vows, and I think for everyone who has been married, it's a wonderful opportunity to think about and think on the principles around marriage. In many ways, marriage is under great threat today, in the sense that some people just see it as a piece of paper or something, a formality, maybe something to be avoided. But for anybody who has entered into a long-term marriage, there are so many benefits that come from it. And one of the things that comes is when we have a spiritual basis for our relationship, it transcends the little human foibles that we all have. It gives us a firm foundation, and it makes us grow in God consciousness. The very same principles of merging our little selves into our God selves is what's required in order to attain a perfect union for a man and a woman. And so this is something that is really can transcend just the kind of sense of, well, these are two people who are coming together. The potentiality for merging yourselves, and you always remain your individual self, but you can also merge into this new identity of a couple, of really deepening and exploring that. I was reading the other day, and somebody was saying, well, in thinking about marrying somebody, and they said, well, I don't know if I know this person completely. I said, well, of course not. Whoever thought that would be a goal? If we have that infinite divine spirit inside of us, how could we ever know anyone completely? Why would we ever want to know somebody completely in that sense? That there's always more mystery, there's always more to explore, there's always surprises along the way. And if we get so dull in our minds as to think we know somebody completely, we're really over-familiar with them, aren't we? We really haven't entered into the mystery of what relationship can really bring to us. So this is a wonderful time for everybody to reflect and think on this. And it's a time to go inside and think about our own divine union with God. If the principles are the same, then we will enact a lot of the same things. We'll have a lot of the same struggles. And it's a very fascinating aspect of gaining God realization. Master affirms it many times. You don't disappear as an individual when you merge into God, because God is everything that is. If God is everything that is, then He is you. He is your personality. He is who you are. He has become you. And just because you merge into Him doesn't mean that you disappear. You become more who you really are than you ever have before. And that's the great surprise, I think, is that we not only become happier, more joyful, more peaceful, find happiness that we've sought all of our lives. But we really find ourselves to be really becoming who we always intuitively knew that we were, but perhaps had given up hope on, perhaps hadn't thought that we'd really ever attain it, that all the little human foibles would interfere with that quest to become truly happy, truly ourselves. So, just as in a marriage, two people come together, they remain their identity, but they create something new, a new identity, an identity of two people merging themselves into each other, and yet retain their individuality. And in gaining God realization, we merge ourselves into each other, and yet we retain our own individuality. We have never been ourselves more completely, more wholly, more fully, ever. So these are good things to reflect upon. Besides Terry and Rick's marriage and celebration of them coming together as a couple, there are some things that I wanted to be sure to have done before we leave on our journey. So I'm a little embarrassed to say, a couple of years ago now, that I ordained Jill as a minister. And she never received her certificate. One time, Larry was talking to, or somebody was talking to Larry and I, and they accused us of having an organization. And I said, "You don't know Larry and I very well, do you? Because if you think we can ever be organized enough to have an organization, you really don't know us, do you?" So,
throw me in the mix.
So, Jill, if you'd like to come forward. And this is a certificate of ministry for Jill. And it reads here, this is to certify that Jill Huff, these are mother's words. This is certify all except for Jill Huff, but the rest is all mother's words. This certify that Jill Huff, by virtue of her knowledge and practice of the truth, which extends beyond religion, and her total dedication to serve God through the Christ inherent in every man, regardless of race, color, or creed, is hereby ordained to be his minister. The ministry carries with it the sanction under spiritual law to officiate in that capacity in the three great ceremonies which are common to men of all religions, namely baptisms, marriages, and funerals. So, I want you to receive that. And with my full blessings, to let your light shine wherever you go. And in keeping with that, through God and Guru's promptings, Peter Schultz is going to be ordained today as a minister. And Peter, if you would like to come up. And I want to say one word about Jill that I was going to say before. There's another devotee who had been with Mother for a number of years. Jill had come fairly recently, and she was involved in some projects that we were doing and things like that. So this older devotee was saying, "Well, how did you get involved? How did you become the center of things like that?" And Jill says, "Well, I just said, I'll help out any way that I can." And this older, they weren't so interested in that. And they thought maybe there was a magic pill. Service is really the hallmark of being a minister. When Mother first asked me to be a minister, I suppose like many of us, I had grown up in the Methodist Church, a more traditional kind of thing. I thought when I was a young person that I might become a minister. And I had certain associations with it, you know, the preacher's kid, you know, the one who's kind of supposed to be all perfect, but they never are. And was that something that I needed to become something that I wasn't? something that I wasn't, and I really resisted that idea. So how could that title fit for me? How could I wear it in a comfortable kind of manner? So I went and I looked up the etiology of the word, and one of the definitions of it was to minister is to serve. You minister to someone, you serve that person. And I thought, well, that's something that I can do. I can't wear a false persona, being something that I'm not, but I can serve. I can serve God and gurus, I can serve devotees, anybody who's aspiring for higher light, higher life, higher consciousness. I'm all in with that. And so that became then my way of entering into the life of service in that way. And I've never regretted it, not one little bit. So I'd like you to pray with me. My beloved Lord,
saints and sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
Remove the veils of ignorance
from before my eyes,
and lift me into the light
and the consciousness
of thy glorious and blissful presence.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king,
reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace.
Bliss.
Amen.
Please close your eyes and put your full attention at the point between the eyebrows. This is the center of Christ consciousness within. Forget the activity, the trials and tribulations of this mundane world, and remember only Him, our blessed Lord. Expand your hearts until you feel the glory and sweetness of His love. As we meditate with all of our minds, hearts, and souls, let us ask Him to shower His love and wisdom and blessings upon Peter, who is about to become His minister. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together to witness and partake in this most holy sacrament, the precious and sacred moment when a soul dedicates and surrenders his life solely to the service of God, asking no measure for himself but the privilege of serving. The blessed Master Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Your body, as you stand with your feet together and your arms outstretched, is in the form of a cross. And it is upon this cross that the crucifixion of the human ego, the Son of Man, must take place, in order that he may become an heir with Christ, the Son of God. He must transform the human ego, the ghost of his real self, which is God within, the infinite spirit within, before he can become filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, the divine ego. St. Paul states, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Therefore, your body is the church, and Christ is the head of it. Enter into his sacred temple. Seal it very tight. Forget the things of time and space. Be one with his infinite light." So, would you like to set down your rose? I want you to take the red and white rose. It's probably easier to do just the roses now. Take it over and put it under the Master's. fruit as well. The flowers represent the flowers of Peter's devotion to God and gurus, and the fruit is the fruit of action, surrendering the fruit of action at the feet of God. And now, Peter, if you will take your sacred vows in order to become a minister, do you agree never to charge for any service rendered under God and to accept only that which is given you freely by those whom you serve?
I do.
Do you agree never to advertise for devotees or seek them out, but to accept only those whom he brings to you through others or that he himself takes to you?
I do.
Do you agree to teach only the truth, the highest truth of God, and be faithful only to him?
I do.
Jesus said, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might, and with all of thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love the Lord, thy shall love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Peter, will you please repeat these vows after me? I pledge my allegiance.
I pledge my allegiance
to the universal Christ.
To the universal Christ.
And agree to keep.
And agree to keep
his first and greatest commandment.
His first and greatest commandment.
I will make God.
I will make God
the cornerstone.
The cornerstone
upon which I will build my life.
Upon which I will build my life.
God made man and man made religion. The Master Jesus said, I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. God is the Father of us all. Therefore, it is his name alone that is important. Spirit is above the law and is therefore not subject to it. It is for this reason we do not have a separate name of organization, because each name creates a new division in Christ. Do you agree always to operate according to this principle?
Yes.
Do you promise to love all men as your brothers, regardless of race, color, or creed, because all are the children of our one Father God?
I do.
Do you agree to respect the right of every man to worship God in the way that he himself is inwardly directed?
I do.
Peter, having taken these vows, with all the love, dedication, and sincerity of your heart, mind, and soul, I am directed by God to bestow upon you the spiritual title, Minister of God, and bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. May you always serve faithfully the highest light, the greatest truth. And spread that light to all four corners of the world. Peter, please repeat after me. Father.
Father.
Thou art omnipotent.
Thou art omnipotent.
Omniscient.
Omniscient.
And omnipresent.
And omnipresent.
Therefore, thou art all and all and all.
Therefore, thou art all and all and all.
There is none other than thee.
There is none other than thee.
Only thee.
Only thee.
Thou art the cosmic life.
Thou art the cosmic life.
And I am an expression.
And I am an expression
of that life.
Of that life.
I am thine own creation.
I am thine own creation.
The temple not made with hands.
The temple not made with hands.
Thou art the ocean.
Thou art the ocean.
And I am the wave.
And I am the wave.
Thou art the flame.
Thou art the flame.
And I am the spark.
And I am the spark.
Sent forth from.
Sent forth from.
The ever-burning fire of thy love.
The ever-burning fire of thy love.
Thou art the flower.
Thou art the flower.
And I am the fragrance.
And I am the fragrance.
Thou art my father.
Thou art my father.
And I am thy child.
And I am thy child.
I lay my life.
I lay my life.
My love.
My love.
And my devotion.
And my devotion.
At thy feet.
At thy feet.
I would now like to read to you and to the congregation a verse of beauty written by my great spiritual teacher, Paramahansa Yogananda, entitled, I Was Made for Thee. I was made for thee alone. I was made for dropping flowers of devotion gently at thy feet on the altar of the morning. My hands were made to serve thee willingly, to remain folded in adoration, waiting for thy coming. And when thou camest to bathe thy feet with my tears, my voice was made to sing thy glory. My feet were made to seek thy temples everywhere. My eyes were made a chalice to hold thy burning love and the wisdom falling from thy nature's hands. My ears were made to catch the music of thy footsteps echoing through the halls of space and to hear thy divine melodies flowing through all tracks of devotion. My lips were made to breathe forth thy praise and thy intoxicating inspirations. My love was made to throw incandescent searchlights, flames to find thee hidden in the forest of my desires. My heart was made to respond to thy call alone. My soul was made to be the channel through which thy love might flow uninterruptedly into all thirsty souls. Isn't that beautiful? Now will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
beloved Jesus Christ,
I
feel the wonder and the beauty
of
thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet
and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection
surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Om. Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen. This is your certificate of ministry.
Thank you.
I want you to all take a moment and to close your eyes. See Peter moving into the future, filled with the radiant light, having the guidance of God and gurus, and being a magnificent minister for God, serving him in each and every one that he meets, bringing his delightful sense of humor, his wisdom and his intelligence, so that all may benefit from how God wishes to express himself through him. Be it so. Anything you'd like to say?
This is a
This is a shock to me. David just told me this morning. I was really surprised. But it's a really good thing, and it's a chance to grow quite a bit in God. And when we moved down to Southern Oregon, I got a different role down there. I used to sit in the back of the room here and make wisecracks. And funny that was, when we moved down there, I had to be at the front of the room and conduct the service. And it was nice because I had to be a better version of myself. And I think this, being a minister, gives me an opportunity to be a better version all the time, not just on church night. And I think that's the best opportunity any person could ever have. So I think whether you officially get bestowed the title of minister or not, I think we can all be the best versions of ourselves all the time. What a great opportunity. Any opportunity to keep our minds on God is a good one. So one of the things I've always said is the best people that I ever met in the whole world were the people I met through this church. And I still believe that to this day. So we get new people here sometimes, and we get new people down in Ashland sometimes, and they're always fabulous. And as I was saying to David, they're so different. You know, you think about the souls that come as a bouquet, and boy, these flowers are not the same. You know, they're completely different, every one. And they're all fabulous in their own way. Different versions of Ram. And it's just such a joyous opportunity and experience to even be associated, whether you're in the front of the room or in the middle of the room or the back of the room. It's a pretty neat deal. And as you know, if you've done your own experiments, anything you do with God is fantastic. It's fun, it's joyful, it's exciting. And you come to realize it's the ultimate goal of your life. That's what we're doing here. So thank you, David. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. And thank you for all being here and being part of the best group of people I've ever known. So thanks.
Mother made me a minister. Always puts you a little bit in awe of, you know, what's being asked of you. And she assured me that she said, I did not begin the way that I am now. But that being a minister helped her to be better. It required her to be better. And it required her to be more focused on God and gurus than ever before. Perfection is something different oftentimes than we think it might be. We have a perfectionistic part of our minds, and if we don't do something just exactly so, and if everybody doesn't approve of what we do, we think maybe we've fallen short. And perfection isn't in the action itself. It's a state of being. It's purity, it's love, it's devotion. And when you have that, then pure action is a natural outcome of that. So we first establish ourselves in that feeling of purity, that transcendent sense of self that goes beyond our little petty concerns. And being a minister of God, if you do it correctly, if you do it properly, really challenges you. I remember one time that somebody came up and we had both been to a lecture before, which was far more political the night before. And I'd seen this person there, and the person came up after service, and Mother had asked me to give a talk, and the person said, blue light, that talk was all blue light. I wanted something different. And I was telling Mother this, you know, about, and oh, Mother could just, you know, she went like a bulldog, you know, protecting her little child here, you know, and you get that, you know, everybody puts you on the head of a pin. You should act this way, you should speak this way. If you make a mistake, what does that mean? And it's really something to put yourself out there, particularly for somebody like me who, that was not my first choice, was to be in the front of the room. It was to be in the back of the room, not necessarily making wisecracks. I'm not as brave as Peter in that sense, but, you know, I was far more comfortable there. Naturally, Mother said, no, you come up to the front of the room, and there I am. And I had told her at one point, I said, Mother, any way that I can help you in your work and serve in you, I want to do that. And she took me at my word. And so she said, she first had me teach Sunday school, taught Sunday school for a few years, and then she had me greet people at the back of the church when they were coming in. And then she started having me come forward and give talks. She said, when you give a talk, this is what Master had told her, prepare a title. Prepare a title. Think of a few stories. Everybody loves to hear some stories. And then let God speak through you. Don't try to script what you're going to say. And speak from your own experience. Speak from your own experience. And that was perhaps the toughest one. I'd been going through spiritual experiences for many years. I felt very private about them, very sacred. I had never spoken to anybody but Mother about them. And so there I was. She was telling me what I had to do. So I started experimenting with it. And it was like taking the most personal, sacred thing that you could ever hold in your heart and putting it out there for whomever to do whatever they wish to do with it. So it was a real test for me. It was a real test. But it was a wonderful thing because in order to do that, I had to step out of the way. My own self-consciousness, my own, what did I think? What was my fears? What would somebody say about me? What would they think about me? And I just had to set all of that aside. So that's all ego, isn't it? So that's what it required me to do. So to have the spirit of service, there is one other lesson that I learned. And I had been doing quite a bit of work for God, and as the vows say, I never asked for anything, and I never did. But I started feeling a little bit underappreciated. I thought, I'm doing all of this, and not much comes back in the way of appreciation. And I was feeling a little sorry for myself at the time. And then God lifted me up, and he showed me how he expresses himself as this whole creation, does it continuously without any acknowledgement by the vast majority of people who live in this world. So many beautiful things he does, absolutely unappreciated. And how many generations, how many lifetimes did I spend not appreciating one? And I did this little bit of service, and I'm feeling sorry for myself that I'm not getting kudos for it. And it really put me in my place. In a hurry, really put my place. One of the great things about service, and what Peter said is absolutely correct, whether we have title of minister or not, we are all in a position of service. How can we serve the divine light within? How can we serve the highest light that we know outside of ourselves? And so we're all ministers in that sense, and all should be. And so this notion of serving, most of us have these invisible ledger sheets. Anybody who's married has seen those invisible ledger sheets. Hey, I did this for you. You should do this for me. And if that doesn't happen, then suddenly we feel a little out of kilter with things, you know. It kind of builds a little resentment there, doesn't it? We can do that with God, too. You say, well, I did this for you, and I did that for you. I should be getting these other things in return. That is deadly. Absolutely deadly. It's deadly in relationships. It's deadly in our connection and relationship with God. That the reward for an action is in the action itself. If it's the right thing to do, if it represents the highest light in you, you should feel at peace, you should feel at joy at doing that action in itself. And whatever the outcome is, whatever somebody else's reaction is to it, is of little consequence. But that's tough, isn't it? Somebody's upset with us, they don't like what we do. If somebody feels neglected, you know, it appeals to our ego. Or maybe our own minds are saying, but I should act in a different way. And yet, this is how I feel that I must act in this way. Mother would say that she would use sometimes the love of the crucible. And by that, man, she could be tough. And I tell you, she could be tough. And sometimes that's the way that it was. And people need that sometimes. I remember talking with Roy Eugene Davis, who's a minister made by Master. And he said, everyone needs a guru because everybody needs a kick in the butt once in a while. And we do, don't we? We need to get shaken up every once in a while. We get complacent. We get stuck in neutral, or maybe we're going downhill a bit. And it's a great, great benefit. Wake up. Wake up. What are you doing with yourself? When Master went with his father to see Swami Pranabananda, and Master's father was a tremendous soul, really was. But Swami Pranabananda said, Bhagavati, what are you doing with yourself? Huh? Now, Bhagavati, he spent hours and hours in meditation. So he's not a slacker. He wasn't, you know. But he was waking him up. Don't get complacent. He says, look at your son. He's like a shooting star going to the divine. What are you doing about yourself? And Master was really embarrassed in Indian society. Any kind of compliment said in front of a parent or older sibling is an embarrassing thing. And Master felt very embarrassed that he was talking like this. But we need that, don't we? What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing with ourselves? Are we living up to the highest light and potential that we have? Or are we coasting or maybe going downhill? So for each and every one of us to really think about how we individually are ministers in life. Jesus said a great thing. He says, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You don't hide it away. What good is the candle? You want to put it on a tabletop. You want to put it on a hilltop where it can do some good. It benefits people. We all have a light inside of ourselves. If we're too self-conscious, if we're too embarrassed in order to express that divine light inside of ourselves, we are robbing the world of that light. We are robbing the world of that light. And it is just and it is good that you express the highest light that is in your mind, your heart, and your soul. So let us not forget that and give ourselves stern reminders and, if needed, a stern kick in the butt when we need it to get ourselves going. Because I can tell you, you start out at life and sometimes life gets very thick and it seems like time goes very slow, and you hear it from older people, but I can say, I guess I'm in that older generation now. Can look back and I said, life goes by very quickly. And I know sometimes it seems like forever. But one day you wake up and you go, look at how much time has gone by. What have I done with myself? What have I done with my spiritual life, my sadhana? Have I progressed? Do I feel more and more the peace, love, and joy of spiritual consciousness? Or am I grumbling about life, not liking my life, complaining about my life, or just kind of stuck in a neutral place? One of the great expressions we get from the East is that this whole creation is an expression of Ananda. Ananda. And Ananda is bliss, joy. It's an explosion. If you think about the Big Bang is an explosion of joy. and then just scattered out among space all the particles of God, and that every particle of creation has God systemically in the center of it. And how far we get from living a joyful life as creation was intended to be, as it was intended to be, and that each and every one of us has a sensitive nerve inside. It's like a tuning fork that can begin to resonate with that joy. And are we exploring that? Are we experiencing that? Do we have more of that? And if we do, we're making spiritual progress. And if we don't, we can be doing all the right things, but we're not spiritually alive yet. Not yet. So let us take that check. And then once you discover that light inside of you, let it shine. And it can be simple things. It can be opening a door for an older person. You know, one of the things Mother taught many of us that were coming up in the 60s, and oh, traditions and traditional values, they're out the window. We're beyond all of that. Well, Mother was not beyond all of that. And if you were in the car with Mother, you were expected to get out and open the door for her. And if you're going into a building, you opened the door for her. You had that respect. And Mother would say that men and women are different. And vive la différence, she would say. She enjoyed it. She enjoyed it. So we should enjoy life. Show it its proper respect. Not become over familiar with our own lives. Perhaps the most extreme version of becoming over familiar is someone who would take their own life in suicide. They've become completely dulled to the joy and to the life experience that life represents. And so let us really go inside. Have a barometer that we can measure ourselves. Am I having more joy? Now, it doesn't mean that life's not tough sometimes. Life is tough sometimes. Sometimes we're in physical pain. Sometimes we're lonely. Sometimes we have different things that come up. Doesn't mean that it's tough. But do we have increasing joy? Do we have increasing love? Swami Satchitananda would say, has your circle of love expanded today? Has your circle of love expanded today? You see, and that requires a living presence, doesn't it? A living experience in your spiritual life. So both for married life, for being a life in a minister, and just simply living our lives. So many of the same principles apply. They really do. So I celebrate Jill's ministry, I celebrate Peter's ministry, and that this light should go out and fill this world through service, universal service. Yesterday we had such extraordinary versions of service. Jill worked countless hours preparing all the food for everyone, never asked for a single thing for herself. And people were commenting, they would say, I've never seen a caterer with such a good attitude. Laughing and joyful and loving. And isn't that the way food should be served? And Lorraine Bossier, you know, all the flowers. Look at these magnificent flowers. And hours and hours and hours that she put into this. And asking nothing. Asking nothing. She's looking after her sick mother today, or she'd be here today. You know, people enter into service in this life. And when you do it with the right attitude, the reward will be in the action itself. It's not what you get out of doing something, what comes as an outcome. You feel joy in doing it because it's the right thing to do. And it attunes you to God. So, we have these lovely souls sitting up in front. I want you to close your eyes and see them filled with that light. Light of service, the light of perfection in God. And how wonderful it is to have these ceremonies in which we all participate, and it uplifts and ennobles all of us to be participants in it. And that God's perfection may go out and express itself through each and every one of you, and that you might live up to the highest light that you know. Just do that. If it's the highest light that you know, do that. And everything else will come from that. Don't make it too complicated or too far away from you. It's not. In almost all circumstances, we generally know what to do. This chant together, Mother's lovely chant.
Lord, let my attention be forever fixed upon Thee. Let me love Thee, let me serve Thee, let me worship Thee.
Of God here today and blessing us with that. May you ever feel the joy of the Divine Spirit dwelling within you and your heart expanding. It is said that God is love and love is God, and this is the truth. Feel that love deep in your heart and let it go out to all creation, all people. Pranams, I bow to the light within you. So we'll have cake and coffee and tea and marking such joyous celebrations. So I hope you'll be able to stay for that.